The following message by Shane Sowers is brought to you by Central Baptist Church, Aurora, Colorado. www.cbcaurora.com.
So 2 John, we're going to be focusing in on verses 7 to 9. Now, as a young minister, when it comes to the topic of deceivers, false teachers, antichrists, I used to get chastised afterwards, and this illustration was given to me constantly when it came to this. But what I thought was really interesting is we found out that this illustration, given to many pastors, is actually an urban legend. Let me give you the story here. There is a popular misconception, it's called what he calls a Christian urban legend, is that the United States Secret Service never shows bank tellers counterfeit money when teaching them to identify it. The agents who do the training, so the legend goes, show bank tellers only examples of genuine money so that when the phony money appears before them, they will know it by its difference from the real thing. And so the story goes, and my instruction goes, is that it's supposed to make the point that Christians ought to study the truth and not be familiar with heresy. The pastor that wrote this said, the first time I heard the tale as a sermon illustration, he says, I thought something about it didn't sound right. So he went through the Minneapolis Secret Service Agency, and he talked to the agent that was in charge of training bank tellers to identify counterfeit money. And he said his suspicions was confirmed. He laughed. The agent laughed at the story, and he wondered aloud who would start a story like that, and who would actually believe it. And he said, at my request, he sent me a letter confirming that the Secret Service does show examples of counterfeit money to bank tellers. Wow. See, I think that it's important and valuable for Christians to not only know theological correctness, but also the ideas of those who have been judged as heretics throughout all of church history. One reason is that it's almost impossible to appreciate the meaning of what we refer to as orthodoxy without understanding the heresies that forced us to develop it in the first place. We gotta know this. In 2011, a story is told about a retired pastor. Now, that's one of the hobbies of mine, is I like to have conversations with retired pastors, and one of the first questions I ever ask them is, hey, if you could do it all over again, what would you do? And, you know, and I've heard many times the sad stories where you hear pastors say, hey, look, you know, I wish I would have preached the Word of God more. You know, I wish I would have, you know, concentrated on teaching and discipleship more, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But this story that I got, it was really interesting. He says, a story is told about a retired pastor who began noticing that his former congregation was starting to slide away from biblical truth. The pastor then, at that moment, saw that it was his fault. Noting one thing he thought he did most poorly as a pastor, he said in two sentences, his great failure as a pastor, he said this, I always told people what to believe. My great mistake is I never clearly taught my people what not to believe. R.C. Sproul says this, a Christian is known not only for what he affirms and what he believes, but also by what he rejects and what he denies. Much of what we just heard, family, is the reason why I am very careful about the kinds of teachings and the kinds of influence that we have at church. But over the years, this has gotten to be kind of out of control. I gotta be honest. It's getting, in a lot of ways, getting out of hands. out of my hands and out of hand, because as elders today, we have a humongous problem. Humongous problem that I have been wrestling with, I would have to say at least the last, for sure, the last 10 years as an elder and in being in ministry. Discipleship just doesn't happen in church anymore. Okay? Hang with me here before you get mad, before you throw something at me. Stomp out of here. Let me finish. Jonathan Lehman and the guys at Nine Marks Ministries, they came to a conclusion, and I thought this conclusion was amazing. This is what the Nine Marks Ministries guys, they wrote. If you're looking for a root cause for why it seems that so many Christians are going off the rails these days, and why so many churches are falling apart, here it is in one sentence. The internet, not the church, has become the primary place where Christians are formed today. Ooh. I'm not telling you guys to erase your Windows Explorer and your Safaris. Hang with me here, because he writes this. The primary context of discipleship should be the local church. Certainly, the internet can supplement the local church in the task of discipleship, but when it replaces or is prioritized over the church as the place where Christians live and learn, things go awry. So, if our learning comes from online parachurch ministries, individuals will ask the question, then why do we go to church? Well, we go to church because we gotta. And you know what we need? We need a pastor who's going to make it as painless as possible on Sundays. And he's gotta be good enough to make sure that we get enough people to come to the church so we can pay our bills. But I don't need him to tell me what to do with my life. I don't need to tell him to tell me what I'm supposed to believe. I just need him to take care of my church home. I can tell. My competition when it comes to discipleship is the new popular teacher on YouTube. I'm just right now going to open my heart. I'm going to be completely transparent with you guys. In reality, though, I got to say this. It's not a competition. You know why? Because I always lose. Always. Always. I always lose. If I say something this and the popular teacher says that, I always lose. Well, Pastor Shane, you're wrong. Well, why? Because so-and-so, the guy that I'm watching online, he said this and this. And he or she knows better. They've got way more subscribers than you do. I can identify with their teaching better. You know what? I get more out of what they say. And when there is disagreement, they, not me, always get the benefit of the doubt. It's interesting. These internet personalities are always innocent until proven guilty. Seriously, it's like these guys can do no wrong. These guys can say no wrong. One guy could actually say, hey, it was Jesus himself who went into the prison and chopped off John the Baptist's head. And people will go, well, I think you misunderstood what he said. I say something like that, there's going to be a deacon's meeting on the Monday. Why is this? Why does this happen? Why is this? And this is not just me. I'm telling you this way, but it's kind of a mixture of other pastors that I have talked to. Why is it like this? It's interesting. Because did you know that the Bible makes it very, very clear that I'm the one who's going to appear before the Lord and give an account for all of you one day. Not the internet personality. Not the number one best-selling book that you guys read from that. That person's not accountable. I'm the one that's going to be held accountable. I'm the one that's going to appear before the Lord one day. And while you guys are cruising in heaven with your yo-yo, I'm convinced there's going to be yo-yos in heaven. Yo-yo, you're doing your yo-yo walking. You're going to hear Jesus talking about you. And guess who's going to be standing before Jesus? Me, Don, and Steve. The elders of this church are going to stand there. Specifically me. You know, Don and Steve will be there. You know, they'll be behind, though. I'm the pastor. I'll be me. And you're going to walk by, and you're going to hear Jesus chewing us out for all the misleadings that took place in your life. Whether it was my fault or the internet personality's fault, I'm the one who's going to be held accountable. And I hope you feel bad. I know there's not going to be any tears in heaven, but I'm hoping that your eyes at least water a little when you hear me getting yelled at for stuff you did. So here's the thing, though, family. Why am I so concerned, then, with the internet? Why is this so concerning to me? Why is this a problem that spiritual formation is happening on the World Wide Web and not in Central Baptist Church, in our local church? Why? Let me just be very, very clear. I'm not going to mix words here. I'm not even going to do it in the Greek. I'm not going to do it in the original language. I am going to say it the way all you Americans say it. Because the internet is inundated, and I mean inundated, with false teaching and heresy. It is everywhere. I mean, I get emails. I'm not even starting to get text messages with this stuff. It's just pouring in to our lives. It's coming through our phone. It's coming through our iPads, our tablets. Gotta say tablets. And it's coming through our computer. It's just coming through the TV. It's just coming through everything. Why am I so concerned? Because it's getting into our churches today. And the Bible teaches us some very, very important things about false teaching. And the Word of God is very clear. So let's take a look. John chapter 2, verses 7 to 9. John makes it clear. I say this because many deceivers have gone out into the world. They deny that Jesus came in a real body. Such a person is a deceiver and an antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked so hard to achieve. Be diligent so that you receive your full reward. Anyone, very important, anyone who wanders away from this teaching has no relationship with God. But anyone who remains in the teaching of Christ has a relationship with both the Father and the Son. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Pray that it continues to be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, Lord. Father, I pray that you continue to lead us and guide us so that we can walk in step with the truth of the gospel. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so if you're taking notes today, the first thing we're going to look at is the identity and some of the characteristics of the false teachers that John is talking about. The second thing is he gives us a heads up. Watch out for these deceivers. And finally, we see why the truth of Christ is the true life and life more abundant. So our thesis statement today is this, and again, the thesis statement is me trying to summarize the entire sermon in one sentence. Though sin and the pattern of this world may cause us to be deceived by many deceivers in the world telling us what we want to hear, it is the truth of the Scriptures and the power of the Holy Spirit that will open our hearts and minds to recognize that Christ is all and must be all that we will ever need. Point number one, the Antichrist. Wow, I know some of y'all might have saw the title of the sermon, got all excited. You know, Pastor Shane's going to tell us who the Antichrist is. Going to tell us when the end of the world is going to be. You know, many of you are kind of like, well, you know, I'm wanting to guess one of the world leaders that we have in office right now is one of the Antichrist. I mean, we're just all these things. Hey, I just need Pastor Shane to go, nope, we're not doing any of that today. Trust in the words of Christ and the commands that you have had from the beginning. Remember last week, this is what John was saying. You guys received a lot from the Lord from the beginning. Trust it. Do not walk away from it. Trust in the Word of God and the truth that you have learned through proven proper interpretation and the historic Christian faith. Just remember, the Bible has been here for years now. They were not the first people to ever read it. So if we're coming up with conclusions that nobody has throughout all of history, then something might be wrong. Don't go beyond it. And John says this, and why, or he implies this, why do I remind you of this truth? To trust in God's words, to trust in the commands, to love? Why do I remind you of this? Because there are deceivers, lots of them, who have gone into this world. Clearly, we see an amount. Poulos planos. Not just planos. Deceivers. Greek for deceivers. Not just deceivers. He didn't say just watch out for deceivers. He says watch out for poulos planos. A large but indefinite number. A great deal. A large number. Numerous. We are not talking about one or two deceivers. We are talking about a lot of them. It's amazing here what John is saying. We're talking about a lot of them. And you know what, family? If there are a lot of deceivers in this world, that should concern us. We should be concerned. I mean, if you've ever just taken a quick look at church history and see all of the false teaching and the heresies and everything like that that Christians have had to deal with for thousands of years now, you just look at it. They're just there. It's like you almost think that somewhere in this world there is a factory that's producing false prophets. Like every minute, one of them is walking out the door. They just don't go away. They're like cockroaches that are surviving the nuclear fallout. And the thing is, it's the same stuff. Man, the guys are saying the same stuff today that they were saying back then. Nothing changes. Like Kohelet, the Ecclesiastes. There's nothing new under the sun. And here's the thing that's even more scary. John is saying there's a lot of them. There is a lot of them, and these guys have gone out into the world. Now, why is that phrase important? That phrase is very, very important because it's giving us the picture that there's a mission, there's a purpose to it. John says that these deceivers have gone out into the world. He's using the familiar phrase to signify a sending mission. John chapter 17, verse 18. John chapter 17, verse 18. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. So as you can see, just like the apostles were sent into the world by the Lord to preach the truth, for truth is Christ, Christ is truth, the deceivers are sent into the world by the devil himself to preach their lies, because the devil is the father of lies. They're on a mission to deceive. They have a purpose to deceive. Sure, it may not have been that the devil himself was standing in front of them and he gave them the mandate and gave them the certificate and the license to do so. But their deception has a reason. And family, the reason is sinful. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. Hear the word of the Lord. In their greed, they will make up clever lies to get a hold of your money. Money, money, money. 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 They're trying to get a hold of your money. In their greed, they're making up lies so that they can get a hold of your money. Does this not sound like many of the false teachers that we have today? Not just John's time. Today, deceiving to build these huge ministries, deception for success, deception for more money, deception so that they can buy private jets. Oh, they need us to give money so that they can buy private jets, because he said, and I quote, "I don't want to ride coach and be sitting in a metal tube with a bunch of demons." And you know what? He got it. He got his jet. It worked. Clever lies to get a hold of your money. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. They deceive with stuff that they make up. The verse says this: "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Here's a characteristic. This is what they do. They make stuff up. They rely on their own imaginations, their mental incantations, and all their creativity. Man, they're creative. Oh, they're super creative. Remember when I was telling you a couple sermons ago, like how sometimes people will come into my office and we'll have discussions about theological topics, and all I can do is put my hand or my face in my hand like this and go, "Who told you that? Where did you get that?" Remember something like that? That's that common. Like, where did you get that from? That's a new one. I haven't heard that one before. Where'd you get that stuff? They make this stuff up. The internet is full of the scratch my head kind of stuff. And I'm just sending this unknown individual said, "Hey, I found this thing on the internet. I'm looking at this stuff. You know, Pastor Jane, is this okay?" And I'm looking at this going, wow. Wow. They're smoking miniature crosses. I was blown away by that. Some ministry in Boulder, they make little tiny wooden crosses and they smoke it. That's one of their sacraments in church. So my hands in my head going, where'd you get this from? Who told you that? Well, why would you do that? I mean, how could you do that? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I was trying to think, like, how do you even do that? I mean, it's not like sticks. You can smoke those things. There's no hole in it. I don't know. It's not like a straw or anything. But anyway, that's what they were doing. And the thing is, they're getting high on the Holy Ghost, is what they're saying. So the ministry is called Toking the Holy Ghost. And they will continue on their destructive path for greed, for vanity, selfishness, self-centeredness, and success. And we need to understand that this stuff is destructive. I wish I could say, hey, you know what? All of this stuff will just disappear, blah, blah, blah. Even though it does just disappear, you know, and it comes back again, but you know, it does disappear, all this stuff. The Bible is making it very clear. These things are destructive. This stuff will destroy people's lives. Family, let me say, this is how serious it is. This stuff, some of this stuff, will send people to hell. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. Whoa. They're not all coming from California. How about you guys want to bet I'm getting in trouble for saying that? From among you, who will, watch this, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves quick destruction. It's destructive. It will destroy people's lives. And the key word here that I want us to see, not only is it destructive, it's gonna be secret. They're going to secretly sneak this stuff in. We are not going to be aware. They are going to destroy you with their teaching, and they're going to be super sneaky about it. We've got to make sure we understand that it is not going to be obvious. They are not going to walk into our church with a t-shirt that says, "Hi, I'm a false teacher." They're not going to do that. They're not going to say, "Hey, look at me, listen to my heresy." They're going to tell us, they're going to come right out and say, "Hey, we're here to worship demons." They're not going to say that. Receive what is meant to deceive today. It's not going to be obvious. It's not happening. They're going to sneak this stuff in. It's going to sneak in there, and it will destroy our lives. Almost all of the heretics in church history have their scripture. They can quote the Bible probably better than many of us. They're also calling themselves believers of Jesus. They refer to themselves as Christians. People will call them Christians. They will appear to be Christians, but their teaching is going to destroy you, and you will be destroyed because of their message, and it will happen secretly and subtly. Dr. John Stott, he writes this, "At all events, we are to think of them as itinerant false prophets that are traveling along the great Roman roads of Asia Minor, seeking to insinuate their own error into the churches they visited. From their own point of view, they were Christian missionaries. But from the standpoint of the presbyter, the elder John, they were imposters." Walking around telling everybody that they're Christian missionaries. These guys are Christian evangelists. These guys are walking around Asia Minor during that time saying it. And what is the Apostle John saying? They are imposters. And family, the heresy taught by these teachers was that they did not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the actual denial of the humanity of Christ. This is not the truth about Christ. If Jesus does not come as a man, then he does not represent man. Then he could not truly die. He could not be a perfect sacrifice. And if these are, if this is the case, then you know what? We are not saved. There is no salvation for us. If Jesus doesn't come as a man, we are doomed. We're all going to hell. That's serious. This is what John is trying to make the point. It is serious. There's no redemption. There's no hope. And God is a liar. It makes things even worse now, doesn't it? Jesus had to come in the real body. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. "For there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man, Christ Jesus." Had to be. To believe untruth, let me start to move into the generalities here. To believe untruth about Jesus shows that we have gone beyond the teachings, and to wander away from this shows, John says it here, you have no relationship with God. It's not me, family. Hey, please hear me. It's not me. I'm not back here saying, hey, you don't have a relationship. You don't have one. You don't believe the truth about Christ, you're going to hell. And that's not me standing here. I'm not doing it. John is saying, if you do not believe, and if you wander away from the true teachings of Christ, you do not have a relationship with God. So Shane, is it important to believe the truth about Christ? Yes, because if you don't, you do not have a relationship with God. 2 John 9. Anyone who wanders away from this teaching, teachings about Christ, true teaching about Christ, has no relationship with God. But anyone who remains in the teaching of Christ has a relationship with both the Father and the Son. So man, Shane, that's, wow. So we have to believe what's true about Christ if we're going to have a relationship with God? Yes. Where'd you get that from? 2 John. Is 2 John part of the Bible? Yes. I know you probably just maybe found out that 2 John is in the Bible. No salvation. No redemption, no life abundant. This is why these heresies are destructive. They are secret and they are going to destroy your lives. If you do not believe what is true about Christ, you are going to hell. It is hard to say those words, family, but I've got to make this as clear as possible. This is why it's destructive. This is why it's bad. This is why we've got to watch out. This is the Word of God. So my question to us today is this. Do we believe what is true about Christ? Uh-huh. Are you sure? What's the internet saying these days? Because if it's on the internet, then it's got to be true. What was happening, family, in the early church was an ecumenicism. Now, listen to this. Listen, this is a blow your mind. It's an ecumenicism. What it was a blending of all the worldviews and cultures and religions and philosophies and scientific principles, all blended. It was a time where all these cultures were coming together. It was starting to become very cosmopolitan, a blending, a mixing. And everybody was like, hey, you know what? Why don't we take what's good from all the religions. Why don't we take what's good from this person and this and this culture and this religion and take all of these good things and blend it together? And so what was happening was the early stages of Gnosticism was being formed here as they were collaborating ideas from Greek philosophers and dualists who actually believed that anything that was made of matter was evil and everything that was spirit was good. So if you were made out of something, if anything, it was matter, if there was anything that you could touch, it wasn't spirit, it was evil. So if that was the case, then of course people were going to try to deny that Jesus came in a real body. Because if he did, then he would be evil because he was matter. So they denied that Jesus came in a real body. And he just appeared to be human. We all thought he was human, but he just appeared to be human. One of the many emanations that came down from heaven, from the great logos, the great abyss up there. The emanations came down and Jesus appeared to be a man. John is forcefully stating that this teaching is a destructive heresy that will destroy you and is being secretly and subtly taught to you. If Jesus did not come in the flesh, we are still in our sins and there is no salvation because then he didn't really die. We don't have a relationship with God if we go along with these teachings. The false teachers have no relationship with God. Their followers do not have one either. So family, John is going to make it really clear right here. These people who teach this, they are deceivers and they are antichrists. Man, you can't get any more forceful than that. I mean, that's pretty heavy duty there. He's not saying, oh, this person's just in error. This person's just in error. He's saying they're deceivers and they're antichrists. We got to see this, family. They may be the nicest people in the world. I've seen this. You know, me and Steve, in the circles that we grew up when we were younger in ministry, we were surrounded by some of these people. And man, they're some of the nicest people. Super nice. Super polite. Really moral. Very sincere. They may be polite. They may be generous. Family, you may even look at them and say, wow, this individual is passionate about Christ. This person is really gifted. You may even see them worshiping God with lifted hands of adoration. But if they do not preach the truth about Christ, John calls them deceivers and antichrists. We don't take our cues from the world, family. We take our cues from Scripture. And the Scriptures call them deceivers and antichrists. I think of one really good friend that was a really good friend of mine. Really good guy. Really sweet guy. Really generous. Really awesome guy. But he taught so much heresy that it's not even funny. And no matter how many times I try to warn him, when you're a friend, right? I have to sit here and think, you know what? My friend, this awesome guy, is a deceiver and he's an antichrist. Danny Aiken, Southern Baptist, the elder, was well aware of the fact that what one believes about Jesus will impact other areas of his theology. Indeed, it will shape his entire worldview. The beliefs one holds about the Bible, about God, humanity, creation, sin, and salvation will be shaped by what is believed about Jesus Christ. These traveling missionaries were false teachers who posed a great danger for the church. J. Paul Hill, he asserts, they are assuming the guise of Christian teachers, but are actually enemies of Christ. Wow. It's a hard one. It's a hard one. Point number two. He tells us, gives us this, the picture of the false deceivers, the antichrists. And what does he say? He gives us an imperative. He gives us a command, family. He commands us to do something. Do you know what he commands us to do? The imperative here, this is not a suggestion. It is a command to you and me today. We have to blepo. We have to watch out. We are commanded to watch out. If you are not watching out, if you are not being careful, if you are not on the lookout, if you're not being vigilant, if you're not examining, you are disobeying God. He told us we need to watch out. We need to be careful. We need to be aware of false teachers that went out into the world. And it's important for us to be able to do that, family. I know some of y'all's temptation. Well, you know, I know I should know all of this kind of stuff, but Pastor Shane's just a phone call away. I'm not sure about this thing. Let's call Pastor Shane. Let's call Don. Let's call Steve. You know, Norberto is in seminary right now. Let's call Norberto. It's fresh on his mind. I think Shane's brain is starting to rot. Oh, anyway. We got to know this. He is commanding all of us to be on the lookout. He is commanding all of us to watch out. Be aware. Be aware and beware of the false teachers that went out into this world. And family, you know, Jesus warned the disciples about this. Jesus told all the disciples, he warned them about it in Mark chapter 13, verses 22 to 23. For false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and perform signs and wonders as to deceive, if possible, even God's chosen ones. Watch out! I have warned you about this ahead of time. And what is John saying here? John saying, he was right! Here they are! All over the place. So John is telling us we gotta watch out. What Jesus said is true. We've got to watch out. What Jesus says, it is happening. Watch out. It's a command. It's an imperative. And Danny Aiken writes this, the elders' audience must be on constant guard. There is no place for complacency. There is always a seductiveness to false teachings that can lure one into a stupor if he is not careful. We got to watch. The stuff is sneaky. The stuff is sneaking in. We got to watch out still. Today, you still have to watch out. We still have the blending of cultures. We still have the blending of ideals, the blending of philosophies, the blending of religions, politics, entertainment, social groups, trying to blend them all together. It's still happening today. And we're getting all kinds of stuff from it. Hey, Jack, can you stop it really quick? Some of you guys might be thinking, some of you guys watching, you know what, Shane, so what? I actually had people say that. You know, so what if that person teaches that? So what if that person's a heretic? I still like them. I get a lot out of it. I'm still going to support them. If you say, hey, Shane, so what? I like them. I'll keep listening to them. I'll keep supporting their ministries. Next week, we're going to see what the Lord is going to do to all of those who support these deceivers and antichrists. We'll see that next week. Last thing, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Why is this a problem for us today? All this false stuff, all the stuff that's going around. Because if you really think about it, a lot of these teachings really do appeal to our flesh. It really does. I mean, sometimes I listen to the false teachers and I listen to what they're saying and I'm like, wow, man, I wish that were true. It's completely false. It's a lie. But man, I wish that were true. You mean all I got to do is put $100 in the tithe and offering bucket there and next week God's going to give me $10,000? I wish that were true. See, we like some false and bad teaching because it really is what we want to hear. These false teachings give us a false sense of security, a false sense of comfort. We can do what we want. We can believe what we want, and there will be no consequences. For real? Oh, sign me up. I can do what I want, believe what I want, and there'll be no consequences. Sign me up. But it's a lie. It's a lie. We are in control of our lives. We are even in control of God. So much so, we need to understand that this lowering of God to human standards is the reason why a popular SBC preacher who I showed us on TV and gave us an example said that God makes mistakes and God sins. We love it when preachers make God more in the image of man. Because the more like man we can make God, the more like God we can be. The more we drop the standard of God down, the higher we're lifting mankind up. Makes man more godlike. That's why we have is a being who has supernatural ability on our side, and we can control this being, which leads a popular teacher to say that she believes the Holy Spirit is a lot like the genie from Aladdin. In sin, we even desire more and more experiences in life, that we will even manufacture experience and cause self-induced deception, hypnosis, and even suggestion, leading one popular teacher to say, if God is not talking to you, then just make it up, because it's better to have a false experience than no experience at all. So fake it until you make it, baby. We fall into these deception traps because of the awful thing lingering in our lives. It's called the flesh. It's called sin. And today we need to be reminded that to love and like these kinds of teachings and to be led astray from them is an affront to the Lord, and it shows that we have no relationship with God. The reality is that the wages of sin is death. We are all by nature children of wrath. It is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. What an absolute terrible thing to desire lies about our Lord Jesus. But we can be saved from this. Oh yeah, we can be saved from this. Because we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We know that we can find life and forgiveness in the grace of our Lord Jesus. Because the Bible says that Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. The Son of God, Jesus, died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and He was buried, and He was raised on the third day, all according to the Scriptures. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Family, we can be saved. There is forgiveness for us. There is hope for us. The Son of Man gave His life as a ransom for many. Jesus, the God-man, made all things new. So family, today we should rejoice because our Lord Jesus is the everlasting God, who made a promise that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. The promises continue. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And rejoice because Jesus is the everlasting God. Oh, but Shane, we just can't explain Him. No matter how hard I try, I just can't explain Jesus. I can't explain it to people. I can't get it straight in my head. I can't get it straight when it comes to understanding all that He does. We cannot explain the Trinity. Every time you bring up the Trinity, we just can't explain it. That's the reason why all of these things are falling apart. That's the reason why all of these guys are saying what they say. Family, did you know? I don't know if you know this. Did you know that every single example of the Trinity that we give to explain it, did you know it's a heresy? Every single one of them. You try to explain the Trinity by using the egg. It's a heresy. Yeah. Try using the sun as an example to explain the Trinity. It's Arianism. You use the three-leaf clover to explain the Trinity. It's partialism. You use the pyramid to describe the Trinity, it's modalism. Do you know why this is the case? And why I rejoice in this? Because remember, God made it very, very clear to Moses, there's nothing in all of creation that could ever compare or explain who He is. He transcends all of it. He is so far beyond creation that we can't even use creation to explain His amazing transcendence and who He is as God. Oh, but Shane, you got to understand, not being able to explain this three-in-one dynamic, man. What is it supposed to do? I'll tell you exactly what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to cause us to truly see and recognize that He is God. I mean, think about it, right? Hey, Shane, I need you to explain to me the makeup and ideology and person of God. I can't. Well, why not? Because He's God. And I'll tell you what, we don't want a God who we can explain. Because that means He's probably not God. And to worship Him would be idolatry. Family, our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or even imagine. He's not to be explained. He's to be extolled. We don't try to figure Him out. We just get on our knees and worship Him. Because one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Even all the heretics in this world, everybody is going to say and declare that Jesus is Lord. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. For more information about Central Baptist Church, go to www.cbcaurora.com.